I was in Lodwar on Tuesday and it was 38 degrees. And then today is back to 23, 24 and it's raining. And therefore we thank God that he has given us life. It's always a joy for me to share in this service and particularly in this church because I know that the Lord has a calling for us and a reason for our lives. This morning we think about the abundant life. And we've read on two scriptures, but I want to start with Genesis chapter number 1. In this particular chapter, there are words, and I will not be able to expound on them very much because of time. But a while back, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, in this very pulpit, I shared about the fact that in the beginning was God. And the question of whether when you start new beginnings, whether they be new seasons in your life, whether they be new opportunities in your life, whether they be just the new day that God has given you in your life, whether in that beginning you put God. But in this beginning, we come to the very last part of the sixth day of the first week. And we are told that God created male and female in his image. And God creates us in his image so that we can continue to grow in his image and so that we can continue to be creative as he is. He has given us a physical body, which you and I see in the other person. He has given us an intellect, our mind, that we think with, that we reflect with, and that we make decisions with. He's given us spirit. He put in us his spirit that we may be able to connect with him. He's given us emotions that give us the conscience and the appreciation of the things around us. And finally, he has given us a social being that causes us to want to live in fellowship. That's why the social part of it is where God reached a point and said, it is not good for man to be alone, and therefore he created another human being in the form of a woman to be with him. And therefore these five parts, God creates them that they may live in unison, that they may live in a form that is connected to each other. And therefore you cannot wake up one morning and say, I no longer need my intellect. I can do with my physical body and my emotions only. Neither can you wake up one morning and say, I don't care about my emotions or my spirit. I just need to take care of my intellect and my social being. But what we see every morning and every day in our lives is that we tend to neglect some aspects of our lives in pursuit of others. We cause others to suffer in pursuit of others. For instance, you may find somebody has decided that they don't care about their spiritual life or aspect of their life because they want to build their intellect. Severally, I was challenged by colleagues during my studies that you cannot be an intellectual, you cannot be a scientist, and at the same time be a spiritual being, because the two, the spirit has no evidence. There is no way of assessing it. But God has put all this in us that they may live in shalom, that they may live connected, and that connection, when founded in God, is what I will describe as the abundant life. What we feed grows, and what we starve dies. It's a simple principle of nature that we observe in our daily lives. That if I feed my spiritual life, it grows. If I starve it, it dies. Genesis 1:26-31 tells us that God created, what God created was very good. Verse 31. God saw all that he had made and it was very good. In other words, sometimes many of us feel disappointed, feel deficient, because others have told us our IQ, our intellectual quotient is low. And therefore we think because we are foolish, we are not good enough. But God, everything he created, he says it was very good. It may be low according to people, it may be high according to others, but it is still very good. Socially, it may be that you don't have the best of looks. It may be that you don't have the best of speech. And therefore people don't think you fit in. But my brother, my sister, whatever God created, just as is very good. You missed an opportunity to say amen. You may be at that point whereby you are questioning the image of God in the physical sense of your body. I was told some time back that I should never tell my wife that she's adding weight. I should say, I think the image of God is increasing. I have tried to use those words. And therefore physically we may feel that we are not in good shape. And there are others, we look around and we say, that one is in good shape. That one looks handsome. That one looks beautiful. That one has a shape. You know, when I grow up, I want to have a physique like that. I want to have a shape like that. But my brother, my sister, whatever God created was very good. Amen, sister. That we are all created in his image. That is a point I want to emphasize. There are times we may feel deficient. At times we may actually be doing every effort, but we don't seem to be seeing fruit. Sometimes we may be physically ill. Sometimes we may be struggling in different parts of our body, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, or socially, or physically. But whatever God created, start celebrating, because God says it was very good. And God's desire is that in every day we become more like him. We become more like him physically. We become more like him spiritually. We become more like him emotionally. We become more like him socially. And we become more like him intellectually. And the question is, what am I feeding my physical body? Am I using the food? In fact, when you read verse 30 at the very end, the Bible says, and I give every green plant for food. In other words, God has given us these things. He says, God blessed them, from verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over everything, every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said to you, I give every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every that will be food for you. In other words, God has given us everything. The question is, are we using it rightly or are we abusing it? Are you feeding your body with the right things, or are you feeding them with the wrong things, or are you all together starving your body and your life with the things of God? Intellectually, are we feeding on the right kind of content, or content that continually pushes us away from God, of the humanism and the postmodernism of this world? When I think about socially, am I engaging in rightful relationships that honor God, or I am daily destroying that which God has given unto us? Are we feeding on what increases godliness, or on what kills godliness? John 10:10, which is the lead verse for the day, it says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So are we engaging in stealing what God has given unto us? Are we engaging in killing what God has given unto us? Are we engaged in destroying that which God has given unto us? Or are we coming into Christ who says, but I came that you may have life and have it in abundance. But I came that you may have life and have it in abundance. Three things that we observe from the scriptures that we have read today. One, the foundation is set on God. God created us from himself. And we are either building on him or destroying what he has created. And at the very end, the Bible says that he will come to judge the living and the dead. And each of us shall give an account of how we have taken care of him. Companies talk about branding and image. And some certain companies are very strict about even how their staff dress, how their staff walk, which clubs they go to, which restaurants they go to, because their image is at stake. My brother and my sister, God's image is at stake in what you and I do every day with our lives. But how shall he put it to question is that he shall judge each of us on how we have taken care of the foundation he's laid by creating us in himself. And Christ invites us, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, come unto me, all of you, and I will restore you. I want you to enjoy the abundance that God has. Therefore, the foundation is set. The question is, what are you building? Another part of scripture will tell us that all shall be tested through fire. Those who build with hay and grass, they shall burn. But those who build with stone and firm material, they shall stand. How are you building God's image? Are you feeding it with what he desires? With his word? With awesome talk? Or are you feeding it with hatred? With abuse? With neglect? Number two, freedom comes from knowing and growing in the truth. And this we read in John chapter 8 in our second reading. And he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I see many people, including myself sometimes, when we walk in slavery, when we walk in emotional slavery, when we walk in physical slavery, because there are habits we've placed on ourselves, addictions we have allowed to grow in ourselves. But Christ says, come unto me, come and know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Seek me, and I shall show you things that you have not even imagined of. Christ's freedom is true freedom. Christ was talking to the Jews, and the Jew says, but we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Who controls your life today? Is it Christ or is it sin? And I know sometimes we give ourselves an excuse and say, but it is difficult to live a honest life in this world. It is difficult to do business in integrity in the Kenya we live in. It is difficult to do clean politics in the country that we live in. It is difficult, but it is not impossible. Do we let Christ give us freedom every day, or are we slaves and every day looking at our back because we don't know who is following us because of the things we have entangled ourselves in? When we engage here in church and serve and come to church, is it because we are already enjoying the freedom of Christ, or simply running away from the guilt of sin? Is it because we have a clear conscience, or is it because we want to clear our conscience? True freedom comes from knowing and growing in the truth. What does this mean? It is a daily struggle. It is a daily walk. No one can say, I got free 20 years ago and therefore I am free. I don't care. It is a daily walk. It's a morning I wake up and say, Lord, I want to walk in your freedom today. And as I sleep, I say, Lord, protect me through the night. And I rise up to a new day. I want to walk in that freedom. Growing is a continuous process. And finally, number three, God has provided all that we need to grow in his image. God does not call us to do what he has not provided for. What he has called for, he provides for it. When he created Adam and Eve in Genesis, he says he gave them everything. He gave them food. He gave them the opportunity to lead. He told them, subdue, increase. And today, God reminds us that he has provided for us all that we need to grow in his image. We can use it well, or we can abuse it. He has given us everything that we need to live an abundant life. He has given us everything that we need to enjoy the life that God has given us. If it is for the physical body, he has given us food. If it is our spiritual being, he has given us himself through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that we can pray and seek him and be nourished. If it is a social being, he has given us communities, which many of us are quickly destroying, in the hope that technology can replace the human interaction that we have. If it's the intellect, he has given us the Bible, if we were to start just with the scripture, awesome writings and books by men and women across the world. Do we feed on that? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul writes to Timothy words that I would like to read to us. I will start from verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is one of the verses that I can refer to, that God has given us everything and expects us not only to train ourselves in godliness and spiritually, but also to take care of our body. I'm not a medic, but I know many of our struggle today, even within our health system, is on diseases that can be avoided, what they call lifestyle diseases. Things that we've brought upon ourselves because we have chosen to live our life by our own terms. Christ invites us that we come to him and enjoy an abundant life. An abundant life is not a life without struggle, but it's a life whose struggles are handled by Christ. What are we feeding ourselves this morning? I repeat by saying, what we feed grows, what we starve dies. Are you feeding godliness or are you feeding ungodliness? Are you feeding Christ and his image or are you feeding sin? Whatever we grow, we feed grows. Whatever we starve dies. May I invite us to starve the ungodliness, the sin, and feed the godliness that God has called us to do. The journey starts today, and I invite us that this day, in the coming days, may we walk and enjoy the foundation that God has set, the freedom that he has given to us, and all that he has provided for us to be able to live that life in all godliness. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. You remind us that you created us in your image, and your desire is that by walking in you and through you, we may grow in your image. We may be creative just as you created us. Teach us this morning and remind us, O Lord God, to focus on that which builds your work, to feed that which is of godliness, and to starve which is of sin. We bless you and we honor you and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.